Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Spaces Unscripted. I am your host, Alyssa Esposito. Here we talk all things creative, and today I am joined with someone so near and dear to my heart that means the world to me, and I'm so, so happy to have you here. I'm sitting here with Amy Linden, acting coach, since I am, years.
15.
Yeah, 15 years. So you have seen me through a lot. And you, I mean, I am who I am partially because of you. So thank you so much for being here. Amy is the epitome of a creative. She is so multi-talented. She has done so many different things. She is an actress, she is a writer, director, producer. I mean, the list goes on. And I, life coach, like mentor, acting mom. And I am so blessed to have you in my life and so, so happy to have you here. So thank
you
for coming on.
I'm thrilled to be here. I'm so happy.
And we got good weather today, too, on top of everything.
So good.
Yesterday was so dreary, and then they knew you were coming on the podcast.
So good. And the Uber smelled good coming over.
Oh, solid. No,
yeah,
isn't
sometimes
there,
those Ubers.
Like,
oh, my God.
You get in a bologna Uber.
I'm like, what are you, like, what did you eat last night, you know?
Ew. Like, you shouldn't be Ubering.
You should not be Ubering. Or open the damn window or something.
Give me some air.
Yeah.
That was just not even scratching the surface of an intro for you. So I would love to pass the mic to you and please tell our listeners who you are, what you do, and all of the fun stuff.
Well, I'm really happy to be here and I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
You know, people always ask, like, so you, Amy, I can't believe you didn't have any kids. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
I have thousands
of kids that never leave.
No.
And it's the funniest thing because I now teach on Zoom. I've been teaching on Zoom since COVID and it's been amazing.
Yes.
And I have people that study with me from all around the world, which is really incredible.
Right.
And they're my kids, and they'll leave and they'll go and do a show and then they'll come back, which I'm sure it's going to be you.
Oh yeah.
So it's like, I don't know, fungus.
It's true. We are your fungus. Thank you for having us as your fungus.
Yeah. Fungus among us.
We are that. That's going to be the new thing.
Yeah. Fungus Among Us.
You are enough shirts with Fungus Among
Fungus
Us.
Fungus Among Us.
But that's, I mean, I think that speaks in volumes to how you really.
You know, I'm like tough love. I'm like that Olympic skating coach for actors. I'm tough love.
Yes.
And, you know, and you remember how many people I just kick out of class? And I kick people out of class all the time.
No, I mean.
Yeah. Listen. But you guys come back strong. You come back strong. You know?
Once you meet Amy and get it and see how she works and really she transforms you, then you get it and you're like, okay. But she will kick somebody out of class.
She kicked
people out of class.
Yeah. Actually, there's this guy, and I'm not gonna name any names, but my assistant's like, I don't know what you're gonna do with him. I said, well, where there's a will, there's a way. And I believe that if you have a creative mind and you have a will, then you can make it. But if you're closed off and you're anal, if you're in your head a lot, there's no way you're going to be a great creative.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way.
Yeah.
You have to be in your heart and you have to have a great emotional facility and an understanding of a place to put it. And so that's where the technique was born. I created the Linden technique, which is a 15 guideline map to booking technique.
We have it right here.
Yeah. And I also have an audiobook and I have courses and I'm on YouTube and I'm on Instagram and I teach 3 classes a week and I have an actor club. And I also have the actorstoolbox.net, which you get a free week to try out. And there's lectures on there. And it's like, I've been doing this, I don't know, since Jesus was a baby.
How do you find the time?
Well, you know what? When you have energy to do something, and I have lists, I think it's really important that people make like three lists a day. The immediate list.
I'm such a list maker. Did I get this from you?
I don't know.
I love a list.
I'm obsessed with lists.
Same.
So I'll do a list and it's amazing. I'll even write myself in a text. So funny. Sometimes I'll write myself a text and then it'll go off and I'll be like, oh.
Like, who is it? It's me.
Who texted me?
Oh, it's just me.
I'll be like, oh, it's me.
I love that.
Yeah. And then I'll have a second list of what to accomplish over the next couple of days, a list of what to accomplish for the week. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you guys, if you write your list and you check it, you'll start to feel a sense of massive accomplishment.
Yeah.
But I have helped about 56 network series regulars, and I have an Emmy winner, Crystal Khalil, that's on Young and the Restless. And Adam Brody just won a Critics' Choice Award and was nominated for a Golden Globe. Wow. But I have thousands of people, and Lisa LaPierre is on The Equalizer. I can name so many people that I have helped work as an actor. Yep. But it's not only a booking technique, it's actually an acting technique, mm-hmm. on how to tell the best story and find the strongest depth within you that you can bring to light and that we could really see the story.
Yep.
You know?
And I think you, just having worked with you for so many years, it's not BS. Like, it really works. Your method works. And it's like foolproof. It really.
It's over and over again. I can't tell you. I get an email a day practically.
Yep.
You know, I have this girl who had no credits at all and had to turn around a 12-page Lifetime script, you know, and she didn't even live here, guys, you know. And they booked her starring role in a Lifetime movie.
Yep.
From the technique.
Yep.
Turned it around.
You don't need, it's, and you've
it's
said
crazy.
This, you've said this in a lot of your, even your podcast episodes, your class, you've said, like, you don't need to worry about where you are, right? Because that's a thing that actors get so in their head about, like, oh, I'm not in LA, I'm not in New York, like,
yeah,
you know,
don't feel like you can't have a dream. I think something's happening everywhere. There's a lot happening in Texas right now.
I saw that. It was like Atlanta, yeah. Texas now is the big,
yeah,
is the big,
it's
boom.
A big hub.
Yep.
Lots happening in Texas. So actually in Austin, and then look at all the movies that Taylor Sheridan's doing on the TV shows. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, I would love to be in one of those shows.
Well, I don't understand how you have the time to even, like, thank you for being here, because I don't know where you find the time. And I've always said it, but then you still manage to, like, one up yourself. Like, you just keep doing more. And I'm like, does Amy ever sleep? Does she ever sleep?
I'm just really good at delegating.
And you're passionate about
what
you do.
Yeah, I love what I do, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, and there are people that really want to be involved, so they're very supportive, so they help.
Yep, yep.
Like, one of my students is really helping me with my YouTube channel and guiding me, which is great, because I kind of left it. You know what I realized, guys? You should spend the time building a YouTube channel, not an Instagram channel, because YouTube actually ends up paying you at some point.
That's it. Yeah.
So, I mean, in all honesty.
The YouTube.
YouTube.
So you have a YouTube channel.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about how you started, going back to just even your journey. So I know your journey, but I think it's important for people to know it wasn't an overnight, like, where you've grown into now. It wasn't, you were in New York, you were 16, right?
Yeah, and I still cry. You know what? I still cry over the things that I really want to accomplish. And like my screenplay, I finally got it to an agent who really wanted to see it. I sent it today. It's like, you know, where you just can't give up. And sometimes you are on your knees.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, literally, sometimes you're on your knees praying and saying, can I really keep doing this?
Yeah.
And the answer is, if you believe it, then you need to. I literally was in my bathroom making my acceptance speech for the screenplay that I wrote. I was making my acceptance speech this morning in my bathtub.
And you know what? And you will probably be able to give it, because I believe
we'll flashback on this episode.
Yeah, we'll flashback here, but I really do believe that you have, like, you know, the people who anything they touch turns to gold. Mm-hmm. Like, you I really think that about you. I really think that you have that. No, it's true. It's true. And I think that your work and your clients' work and everybody's, it shows it.
I love, it's really important that my students work, because I love them so much. And I think that I can't call myself even an acting coach or a booking coach or anything if my students aren't working.
Yeah.
I might as well just call myself a fraud, Oh, yeah, I'm just going to hang a shingle and call myself a coach.
Well, there's a lot of them.
I know. I said it. It was sarcastic.
It's true. There's a lot of them.
I know.
And that's
why
I'm always, anybody that, is looking to come out to LA or looking to get started, it's like, if you want to start on the right foot, find Amy.
Me when I was you.
Yeah. No, it's true. It's true. It's really, you're a guiding light. So, but without
all of your, you said, talking about
your experiences.
Where it started.
Yep.
I've been acting since I'm 10 years old. I even wrote on a wall, Amy Lynn. I was literally writing on bathroom walls, changing my name as a child.
You're like, that's my stage name.
That's what I said. That's my stage name.
Oh.
I always wanted to be an actress. Always, always, always. And still to this day, I'll work just for a good meal now, I just, as long as I'm on set, you know the feeling. You're on a set with a bunch of people and everybody, it's like a family, and you feel like you love each other so much. Like, I have a movie right now that's doing really well. It's going to be playing in New York next week. It's called Lady Parts.
Oh, I love it.
I got to tell you, there's this great scene. The scene's basically about, the movie's about this woman, my daughter, who realized through many, many years that she had a problem down there in her lady parts.
Okay.
And she got an operation, and she had to move home to her Philadelphia overbearing parents' house.
Okay.
For 6 months. So in order to get it well,
But
there's this one scene. I just have to talk about this one scene. I'm sitting in the living room waiting for her to come home from her date to see if her JJ
stop.
And so she walks in the door. I'm like, so how did it go? Well, I paid for it, right?
Oh.
I paid for the operation. So I wanted to see
you
whether
know.
Or not. I want to know if her vagina's working.
I can't. And this is so...
It's an indie film.
Okay.
And I wasn't paid that much.
Oh my God.
But I loved every freaking minute. I'm in 94 scenes and...
Oh.
I'm up for Best Supporting Actress against Rosanna Arquette and Kathy Moriarty right now in the Golden State Film Festival. So fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed.
And I also got a Best Actress Award in a Costa Brava Film Festival, which is in Madrid, for this other movie that I did last year.
Did you go?
No.
No.
Hey, if they told me that I was going to win ahead of time.
Would have arranged.
Yeah, I would have arranged to have been there.
Yep.
But anyway, I've been acting my whole life. And in the teaching thing, I didn't even know it was going to happen.
Yeah.
Which is very interesting. Like, your podcast is so relevant to life that you have to go where you're supposed to be going at the time until... It changes and you go somewhere else.
Yep.
But you have to move where you're supposed to be moving.
Yep.
Because if you resist it, it's only going to affect what comes next.
Right. You have to roll with it.
Yeah.
And those pivots.
Yeah.
And that's the hard part. Has there been any part of the industry that you have, you've been a manager for 9 years?
For 9 years, yeah.
And then
and then I produced, which I hate. I'll never produce again.
Okay, but you tried it.
Well, yeah, I tried it. I didn't like it.
Okay,
love directing because it's kind of like teaching in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And I love writing, only if it's something passionate.
How was the Lyndon technique born? So I want to talk about that because I know you've studied with.
I studied with Stella Adler.
With Stella Adler.
And I studied at the Playhouse in New York City.
And
so Meisner Lake was upstairs and I was in the junior school. So
yeah. So
I would jump on a train when I was 16 years old just to go to New York to study acting.
And your parents were
in New Rochelle, New York.
Right.
And so they didn't want to take me. See, you were lucky, you know. I used to say that to all the moms that used to bring their kids to train with me on how lucky they are.
Yeah.
My parents were like, oh, okay, you're old enough. Jump on the train and go.
All right, bye.
Bye.
From New Rochelle. Well, and I we were saying this before we started rolling, but my mom was the stigma of, you know, the momager thing. Mm. I talked about this on one of my previous episodes, but it you really let parents be, you let the momagers be momagers, you let the parents be parents, and you involve them. And this is it there's a lot of coaches or anybody in the industry, even photographers, like there's a lot of people that are very resistant to the parents, and you involve them.
I wanted them to learn the technique with you.
Yep.
Because if they learn the technique, then they feel like involved, and then you both can speak that language.
Yep. Yep.
There's nothing worse than not being able to tell someone after you leave an audition, tell your parents like how it went. See, now with the technique, you can go out and say, okay, my opening emotion could have been stronger. I kind of fell out at the end, and that action, I could have swung through a little harder. And like, you could talk technique rather than just general, yeah, it was good.
It was all right. They speak the language. They know, they know what's going on.
Yeah. And they could work your transitions with you.
Yeah. Yep.
Because like I look at great athletes, or I look at like great skaters, and what's great about them is their transitions.
Yeah.
Great dancers.
Right.
Nice and clean. The stronger your transitions, the stronger your character. Mm-hmm. The technique was built because I wasn't booking television. I was booking a lot of film, and I still book a lot of film. But television is more of a corporate medium, and you really have to understand tone and style and genre, and you got to get your ego out of the way. It was really hard for me because I'm like, I can't just say this one line, because you only get like one line when you start, right? How are they going to remember me? And I never had somebody there to tell me they're not supposed to.
It's not about you. You always said, it's not about you.
Yeah.
And you those little things that you don't think about, like the scenes, oh, the nurse, the back, you know, the background.
Yeah, people, how, the you supporters, start. How you start. Yeah.
You've literally have ingrained in me and your other students, I'm sure. I would get scripts and be like, okay, this is not about me. This one's not about me. But there's a science to it. And there's a
science.
Yep. And that's.
There's a science. It's an outline. It teaches you. It gives you a grounding. There's no other person out there in the world teaching actors an outline.
Mm-hmm.
This is an outline.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a roadmap. And so every time you pick up a script, you'll ask these questions, and then you'll dive in and marinate on it and feel it and get to the psychology of the writer.
Yep.
So my friend came to me and said, listen, you're booking all the time, because I figured out how to crack the code, and I started booking a lot of TV.
Yep.
And I went from co-star to guest star to recurring, and then she's like, can you teach my daughter, who was auditioning for a very big studio movie? And I said, I don't know. I don't know if I can. She goes, well, just teach her what you do. And she booked the damn thing. A studio movie lead. I was like,
wait a minute.
Wait a minute. I don't have to do three jobs anymore. So that's where it was built. And the management thing came out of, like, when my manager passed away, she taught me everything. That's a whole nother Oprah. But I started fixing my students' resumes.
Yeah.
There was this one agent that hated me. She's like, don't touch their resumes. I'm like, yeah, but you're not.
Yeah. And you had a character, right, that you would play?
Yeah, it was Rachel Gold. So I became a manager, and I became her competition.
Wow.
Because she actually wrote to all the parents and said, if you study with Amy, I'm going to drop you. And I said,
stop it right now.
And one of my students was a lawyer. She sent a cease and desist. and then I said, you know what? Screw you. And then I went and became a manager. And all of the clients came over to me. I didn't ask them to. They're like, oh, we don't want to stay with her. We want to be with you.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Yeah, I already had a full roster of kids. I used to deal with a lot of kids back in the day.
Okay.
Yeah. Like there was one time I had 5 kids on Nickelodeon and Disney TV show series at one time. They're not even really doing.
I was going to say, you know, you've seen all the changes in the industry, COVID, like, I mean, all of these different pivots it's made. But what's the biggest that you see now? Like, whoa, difference. Would it be like that they're not as, you know, the Disney Nickelodeon days are kind of like, what do you think?
I think that I think that the, one of the biggest things that I'm happy about is that they're able to find people from anywhere now.
Mm-hmm.
Like Ariel, I can't say her name, or Prepetit or something. She was in my classes and she did a self-tape from Florida for Beyond the Gates. And they looked at thousands of girls for that part.
Mm-hmm.
And she's in that TV show, Contract Player, from a self-tape.
Wow.
So, and then Marissa Davila, who.
Yeah.
Yeah, you knew. You
I
know,
was in class with Marissa.
Yeah, you know Marissa. So when she booked that Paramount Plus show, that was 8 callbacks on Zoom.
Wow.
She never met anybody in the room.
Whoa.
So that's the biggest pivot.
Right. And that, do you think that was because of COVID?
Yes, that was actually the tail end of COVID.
Wow.
That happened. And then people said, well, I don't know why I have to pay for this office.
Yeah. Yeah. And so they started doing everything on tape. And that's a science in itself, taping.
And so that's why I stayed on Zoom, because Zoom is just like, is the same measurements as a self-tape.
Mm-hmm.
So when I teach on Zoom, it's basically a on-camera class.
Got it.
And I could see what everybody's doing and how to use the space.
Mm-hmm.
Because people are not using the space. Like when I taught in the theater, I couldn't really see on camera what you were doing in the space.
Right.
And so now that's why everybody's booking so much now, because they're doing really well in the space.
Right. Right. So it's been a blessing.
It's been a big blessing.
And like you said, you could live anywhere. Because that was scary, even for me leaving. L.A. was like, oh, my, the end of the
you
world.
You can live anywhere and be an actor.
Yeah.
They just want you guys to know that. You can live anywhere and be an actor. And, you know, and what's great about that is that you can actually, you could have a full life. You could buy a nice house outside of here, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I have a couple of students that do really well in television, but you can't do commercials. That's the thing.
That's true.
And because of turnaround.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to be willing to get on a plane and get somewhere very fast, though.
Right. Right. And it's helpful to know people where you're going, right?
Yeah,
Can I sleep on a couch
for
a little bit?
Yeah.
So what was the transition to Los Angeles? So because you were in New York.
Yeah, because I'm from New York, yeah.
Yep. And then I know you started working and you worked on a lot of great projects. And was that what brought you out here?
No, what brought me out here was my uncle was the executive producer of Rocky.
Yes.
That's what brought me out.
Okay, so he was here.
He was here. My whole family had moved out here, but I was still at Syracuse University studying acting.
Right.
So I stayed back. But everybody moved. My grandparents moved out during that time. And then 5 or 6 years later, my parents moved out, and then I was still in school.
Okay.
And then my brother studied law in L.A., so everybody was here but me.
Right. So you're like, okay,
so they packed me up.
I guess it's time.
No, I didn't want to go. I wanted to go to New York.
Really?
They literally came to Syracuse and packed me up.
Stop it. I didn't know this.
They went through my... Like, you know, the jeans that take a long time to get the hole in the right.
Like the perfect hole.
The perfect hole.
The ones you look like you paid for?
Yes.
Yeah.
They threw them out. They're like, you're not going to LA. And they threw out my favorite beanbag chair.
And you're like, everything's being ripped away.
Including my ripped up.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So I was out, and my first movie that I had ever done was A Night in Heaven with Andy Garcia. That was his first movie, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that you had a funny story I was listening to on one of your, because you had a podcast yourself. Which,
yeah, I'm going to get back to that.
Please,
because I really
do.
Like this setup over here. I might come over here and do it.
I know. They're awesome. Yeah. They're amazing. Yeah. But it really makes it so that you can just focus on the podcast and what you're talking about. Because that's like all of the techie.
Well, I was doing it like, you know, and Zoom, and I don't know. This is more professional.
No, it's you. No, thank you. No, I mean, it's now it's so like accessible to be able to, because podcasts have become such a thing. But you were doing it before.
I know.
For the record, like Amy was doing it before it was a thing, like before it was very
before
popular.
Before it was a thing.
But I was listening to one of your episodes, and you were talking about a funny story with Andy Garcia.
Yes. So. You know, I really looked up to him. He's a bunch of years older than me, and he was like sitting there like reading his plays. And I was like, oh, I should be reading plays. You know? I was
so you pulled it from him. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like I was examining him every day.
Yeah.
But the day before that our scene, he fell off of a skateboard.
Yes.
And he broke his arm. Mm-hmm. And so he couldn't pour with his right arm anymore. So he lost all of his close-ups and it all went to me.
So Amy got all of Andy Garcia's
close-ups. I got all of Andy Garcia's close-ups. And you could literally hear his voice. And I put it on Instagram. Follow me on Instagram, by the way.
Yes.
I put it on Instagram. I went, who is the bartender? People thought it was like Bruce Willis. They were naming like all these names. I'm like, no, it's Andy Garcia.
Whoa.
And then if you listen closely, you're like, yeah, that's his voice.
Oh, my God.
So he lost all of his close-ups because he couldn't pour.
Was he upset? Was he pit? I mean.
I don't think he really, you know, we were just so little compared to everybody at the time.
Wow. Wow.
I mean, it was his first job, pretty much. He's a really nice guy. I bumped into him a lot through the years.
Really?
Not recently, you know, but for the first, like, 10 years.
Yeah.
At the Improv, he would hang out there, and he was so nice.
Wow. Yeah, you've worked with so many
people. I've worked with, you know, Rachel Brosnahan, the Mrs. Maisel.
Oh, my gosh.
She's going to be Lois in the new Superman.
Oh.
I'm like, I played her mom in a movie.
Yeah, you've worked with
so killed. Many yeah, Chris Pratt.
Oh, you were telling this story too on one of your episodes. You were saying so the story of how he got discovered. But that was his first movie, right?
It was
that you
his
worked
first
with
movie. He was discovered in Hawaii. He was waiting on a table, and Ray Dun Chong put him in her movie. And I was at an Academy Awards show yelling at the TV, and she says, who's that girl? And literally, I was on set 2 weeks later starring.
Whoa.
I was the star of that movie. Whoa. Never got released. It was a funny freaking film, okay? She just couldn't get over herself and release it.
Okay.
She should have done it. She didn't.
Well, now I want to see it.
I've got great scenes from it. I'll show it to you.
Yeah, please send them to me. And yeah, you've been in LA for all of
30 years.
Yeah, you've stayed true to LA. It's hard to leave here.
Yeah, sane. I'm still sane.
I mean, you are. You are. Wow. So this has been your journey through the industry. You were 10
years
old.
Yeah, I'm part of like almost like old Hollywood. The way they used to do things, which is really crazy.
No, but there is
no,
a,
the
there
way
is
they used to do
method,
things.
Yeah.
When I was a manager, we faxed pictures.
Wow. Yeah.
There was no like computer submissions. Like agents and managers have it so easy right now. Okay. We would stuff envelopes with the 8x10. Remember you had 8x10s?
Yeah.
Stapled.
Even that's not it. Even now, from how many years ago, that's not even a thing anymore. To
not
bring
even.
Your bring your headshots.
Don't even bring your headshot anywhere.
We used to have to go get them printed at FedEx.
Yes.
And then, God forbid, you like plucked your eyebrow the wrong way or, you know, did something slightly different to your hair. You have to throw all of the headshots.
Yeah.
My parents would be like, Jesus Christ, like, we just bought 50. Like, yeah, now that's that's not a thing anymore.
Yes, it's not a thing. And then there was a thing on how you stapled the headshots. People were like, oh, you're hurting the casting directors because they're having all taking it out of the envelope and it hurt them. So you have to staple it with it. Oh, it's crazy.
Like one on the top.
Yeah, one
on
the top.
Yeah,
one
on the bottom. Yes. Yeah, I remember.
can't do it in the corners anymore because it hurt them when they pulled it out.
I can't.
But those were those days where you could like literally drop your picture at a casting director's office and you can do that.
Yep. Now it's not even.
They don't have baskets. There's no 8x10s. It's harder. You have to do different things. You have to make your own content.
Yes. You have to make your own content. Which you've always...
I've always done.
You've always been supportive. You've always done it and you've always supported your students on it. You know, you've always... I remember being in class and you saying, this one has a YouTube, this one is doing this. And that's... I think that sometimes in the industry, at least from what I can notice, it wasn't... It was almost like a little like, they're doing YouTube.
I know,
but you always supported it, and I think that was so smart. Always was,
but even when I was a manager back in the day, I was the first person to say, do reality. And everybody was like, oh, blasphemy, Amy. I can't believe you came from the theater and you're saying that. Meanwhile, all those guys have houses in Malibu now, okay?
Yep.
And they could do whatever they want.
Yep.
So you should have listened to me.
So you're like, see? I told you.
So much.
We love it. Starbucks. Had to have it. A little caffeine.
Yes.
I don't know if that. See how they made it. A little splash of almond milk.
You know, I'm sure it'll work.
Caffeine's caffeine.
Very good.
Oh yay! Okay, good.
Yeah.
So, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about. You have so much. There's so much wisdom that I could keep you here for like 6 hours talking, but
I'll be like,
please,
am I ever gonna go?
God,
home?
Let me go.
God, Alyssa,
Alyssa,
I love you, but I gotta go.
Jesus,
feed my dog.
Yeah, literally. Tracy's waiting.
Yeah, exactly.
She's blowing up your phone.
Yeah.
But if you were to pass along some wisdom, you know, my hope for the podcast is that there's listeners who. Are certainly in different creative spaces, but specifically actors. What would you say? Just a little sneak tidbit.
Well, you know, I think this goes for any creative. There are going to be bad days, and you're going to know when those bad days are. It's what you do during those bad days is going to determine who you really are as a person and what you're really made of. And the more that you could pick yourself up, that's going to give you so much more character.
Yeah.
To bring to what you're trying to do. But if you're going to quit, you're going to regret it. I'd rather somebody come to me and say, you know what, I've done everything. I've done every single thing. It's just not working. I really covered it. And then I'd say, well, is there something else that you love to do too? And if they say yes, I say, then go try that. But you can't say you did it when you didn't really do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because there's a lot of people that go, oh, it didn't work. No, actually, you never put together a business package. You just went to acting classes. So you can't say that.
Yeah.
So if you told me that my business package was great. I was in great shape with my acting. I was booking a bunch of what they have these vertical movies now. And I've been booking a lot of stuff on my own, but I'm just haven't gotten opportunities and I'm really frustrated and nobody wants to see me and nobody wants to bring me in. Then I could say, you know what? Maybe now is not your time.
Yeah.
But you can say you did it when you didn't.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so true.
Because a lot of people leave and they go, oh, you know, it just didn't work. And it's not true. You just didn't work it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or you were not guided properly. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, that makes sense. I think at least from what I can see or from personal experience, I can say, you can feel really beat down. And I think that's for any creative field. But I think especially with acting, it's you got to keep standing up. You got to keep fighting. It is that way. And if you really want it, you have to have that passion. And I think it's so important to have those guides to keep you pushing and to keep you believing
in yourself.
Yeah, because
believe it or not, just when you are about to quit is when you're supposed to go to that next level.
Yeah.
I watch a lot of competition shows, you know, because I think it's the same spirit with every single show. It's that winning champion spirit. It's like if you can think back of when you were in team sports and you were with your team, did you quit? Yeah. What was that like? Like, what was that like? And if you didn't quit, then why are you quitting on yourself now? Like, why are you doing that when you already know how not to?
Yeah. Yeah.
So those of you that have already won in other areas, now this is not only for acting, this is for everything. Like, if you've won in other areas of your life and you won awards as a kid, why aren't you applying those same business principles, winning strategies to your life right now? And if you're not, then you got to get rid of anybody in your life that's in the way of those goals. Because I would say I should have cleaned out my life many, many times and I didn't.
It's a really important thing. And it's very hard to do that. It's very... I think...
What does cleaning out your life mean to you?
I think that even with friendships, it's hard to... I mean, if you're not... If you're not letting... If you don't have cheerleaders, if you don't have people that are genuinely your cheerleaders...
I think it's a problem.
You can't. You can't...
See, you were very... You're very lucky. You had folks that loved you so much, that wanted you to succeed so much. Your mom was there with you all the time, pushing and saying, you could do this, you know? Yeah. But most creatives don't have that.
Yeah.
Which is why they became creatives to begin with.
Yeah.
But you can't give up on yourself. And you have to surround yourself with people that really believe you could do it.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of people that don't want you to do it.
I know. That's a hard thing. And I think there's such a, especially here, it's, you fall yourself, you find yourself falling into, especially when you're around a lot of other actors, you compare. You compare.
Yeah, that's actually the worst thing to do. I remember I would go... I talk about this a lot. I was going for an audition for a comedy and I cast the role already in the, it was a callback. And I thought, oh God, why didn't I put my hair on top of my head? Why does she have her hair on top of her? And I really was thinking, I should have put my hair on top of my head. Damn it. Well, I should have gone home then, okay?
Yep.
Then I walk in the room, okay? There's this lady on the couch. I'm like, what the? Freak is this lady doing on the couch with a stinking thinking face? You know how they would throw people in a room? Like, what are you doing there?
Yeah.
For my comedy audition, look at your face. Look at the puss on your face. Like, your face.
Why are you there?
Like, and why are you letting her?
Yeah.
I was like thinking, like, you bad casting director. Yeah. Why are you on my comedy audition? How am I going to be funny with that face?
Stoic. Like, no emotion. Like,
it was horrible. Well, I'm thinking that during the audition, okay? It wasn't like, it was during the audition. Yeah, no. I fell out of the scene 3 times.
Yep.
Because, that was like one of the main reasons why I created the technique. So I wouldn't be casting in the office and picking up the energy of all these people, because as creatives, we're so sensitive.
Yep.
We're sensitive to anything that comes in.
Yep.
And so you have to protect yourself if you want to be everything that you want to be. And I didn't do that coming up. I didn't have the right people around me, and I didn't have a technique.
Yeah.
And I didn't have a way.
You're just going at it blind.
Yes. Life and auditions.
Well, and auditions, the thing is, you've prepared your students. I remember going into the room, and I loved going in the room after I worked with you. I loved going in the room. And it was hard transitioning from, that to COVID, because then everything was on tape. And like you said, it's a whole different world. But I've applied that to everything that I've done.
Yes.
It has made me almost fearless to go in rooms and in places that in different spaces that would be uncomfortable.
I think it's just great training.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Even if acting's fun, but I'm not, your training is really, really valuable for just life.
Yes.
So
there's a girl that that wasn't acting, but she became a principal of a school. And she said the same thing that you said, with all of the philosophy and the philosophy of empowering yourself, and there's only one you, and what gift are you bringing, and how are you stepping out into the world? And all of that helps you with everything.
Yeah.
And not only acting, you don't have to always have to be like an actor.
Yeah. Yeah, because you're, you know, that's the thing too, is actors forget, like, you're still a human, you know, you can do all these creative things, you can do all these different,
yes,
different things. And I think if you were to say to somebody who is so caught up in trying to set themselves apart, and, oh, Amy, like, somebody calls you, I call you on 1-800-AMY. I'm like, help me. I'm trying to set myself apart. Like, I feel like I'm just blending. I feel like I'm, because actors always say that. You know, it's like, I feel like I'm just like, nobody's noticing me. Nobody's noticing. Nobody's looking. Like, what would you say?
I would say, first off, nobody shares your DNA. There's only one you. Thank God for most people.
True.
And the second thing I would say is that you need to spend a lot of time with yourself, because you don't know who you are. Because what people want is you. But if you don't know who you are, then how are you going to bring that? You know,
yeah.
I mean, that doesn't mean like wait, just number two, or you still could have a personality, but it's not your show, which is why so many of my people, a quarter of my series regulars came out of nowhere. They had nothing because of that philosophy. What are you bringing? But if you don't know you, how are you going to bring it?
Yep.
And so that's what you're talking about. I would say go into therapy. Do a lot of somatic yoga, which I do a lot of.
Ooh.
It's
really good.
It's meditation yoga. It's amazing.
Ooh.
Do a lot of meditation and start writing a journal and creating an emotional journal as well, and figure out who you are. Because if you don't know who you are, how are you going to be the cherry on top for all of your characters? Because when all is said and done, you could break down a script beautifully. You could understand where things are for you. But if you don't show up, then why would I go see you? Like, I go to see, if I know, like, let's say Ryan Gosling's in a movie, I'm going to go see him.
Yeah.
Because it's a Ryan Gosling.
It's Ryan Gosling.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, Alyssa Esposito, if she's in a movie, I'm going to see an Alyssa Esposito movie.
Thank you.
That's what I'm going to do.
Oh, thanks. I hope so.
Yeah, because you know who you are now. You understand?
Yeah.
But there's a lot of people that really seriously don't know who they are, and they expect to become a star.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think on focusing on being a star and getting into, I mean, that can really be a roadblock in itself.
Completely agree.
You know?
I completely agree. I think a lot of people that are, like, you look at Culkin, kids, I don't think he wants all this attention. I think it's kind of bugging him. He doesn't even know what to say when he gets an award. I mean, somebody needs to be a speechwriter. But he's a creative, you know? And people are falling in love with what he's bringing to his work. He's an artist. And I love what Timothy Chalamet said in his speech.
I saw you post that.
That he wants to be great. Yeah, I posted that because that is what I teach. You want to be a great artist, and then people will find you. Stop worrying about the result.
Yeah.
They will find you, but don't sit at home. Go do something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, don't wait for the phone to ring.
And don't let where you are, location-wise, hold you back.
There's so much going on in your neighborhood. You could just call the local film commission and see what they're shooting there.
See?
You literally can do that.
Pro tip.
Yeah, pro tip.
See, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
pro tip. I had no idea.
Yeah, well, the film commission in every single state will know what's shooting.
Right. I never thought of that.
Yeah.
Amy! Oh my God. See?
Yeah.
Live.
Hey.
Live. Hey. It's almost like you've been doing this.
Like,
it's almost like so one of my
There's also an agent in every state.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a thing that it's hard. And that's a whole, that could be a whole other episode that we could talk about for hours. But I think a lot of actors and actresses, they hinge their whole career on their, on agent manager, like, you know?
I totally know what you mean.
You know what I'm saying?
I've, you know, and it's the same thing with, oh, well, I'm not going to be a real actor unless I get my SAG card. Then they get their SAG card. Oh, well, I'm never going to be a real actor unless I get an agent. Then they get an agent. Well, I've never, well, I haven't worked at all.
Yep.
And so therefore I'm not a real actor. First off, wait on your SAG card. That was like the biggest thing, right?
Retweet, retweet.
Wait on that SAG
card. I was just saying this.
You said it too? It's like, it was like, I got it too soon. It's like your period. It's like, can I just wait on my period? Wait on my period.
So true.
No, I know. Because there's so many juicy roles that you could play.
Being non-union.
Yeah. I mean, even if you were like SAG eligible, you could still do non-union. Like, it doesn't make you legitimate just because you're in SAG.
Yep.
What makes you legitimate is you believing you're legitimate. Like, a thing is not going to make you legitimate.
Right. Right. Yeah. And it's the work that goes into it, too.
Yes.
All of the behind the scenes.
Yes. And you could star in a film and like a Lifetime. You know how many Lifetime movies are non-union?
So true.
Nobody knows that.
I didn't until like after.
Yeah,
I didn't
right?
until after I was SAG.
I know.
It's like, dang it.
So
I know. Mean,
there's not an asterisk. See, bottom. Did you know this is a non-union movie? Like, nobody
it's
knows.
It's true. There's not a label.
Nobody knows.
Yeah.
I would bet that a lot of there's a lot of indie films that are well-known indie films that were non-union and you guys don't even know it.
Yeah.
I will bet it.
Yeah.
You want to bet?
You want to bet? Yeah, you want to bet? One of my final questions.
I know. That mean it's almost over?
Amy,
that's so sad.
I need to bother you like every 2 weeks. Like I need
I'm
to
fine.
Have you all the time.
Yeah.
I know because I'm thinking of all of the things that I still want to talk to you about. So yeah. We have so much to
we
still
have
cover.
A lot to talk about.
But if you were talking to young Amy, I know. If you're talking to young Amy or someone who wants to be you when they grow up, what would you say?
I would say, don't want to be me, want to be you.
There you go.
You don't want to be me. Unless you want to pay my mortgage and my car. So you don't get to be me unless you decide you're going to do that.
Unless, yeah, there's a stipulation.
I would say, you know, I started a company called I Am Enough Collection. I own the trademark to all apparel for I Am Enough. And go to I Am Enough Collection and get something because I still struggle with it. That's why I got the trademark way back in the very early 2000s.
Wow.
Because it's a struggle, and I think we all struggle with not feeling like we're enough. And I would say that work on that, because that is the root to everything that you do in life, is believing in yourself that you are enough.
Yep.
And because most of us didn't have people to tell us that we're okay. And so we have to figure it out ourselves.
I love that. I know. I almost wore a shirt today. I almost wore one of the shirts. I should have done it. I almost did that, and I almost brought. I was texting you about it, but my Linden Technique book. I almost brought it up. She goes, "You should bring it," but I said, "Mine is so marked up."
Yeah, I wanted to see the markup.
I know.
But
next
anyway,
time.
We're giving away
three
of these books. How do you want to do the,
you know,
the raffle for
I
your
think
people?
Maybe what we'll do, we can figure it out. But I think what we might do is when this episode releases, I'll do it through my Instagram. I'll do
That's
a raffle.
A good idea.
Yeah, I think I'll do a raffle through my Instagram, and
Well, we can also work on something that if they tag, like a tag, whatever, yeah. then I could give them a free consult, which is worth $200.
That would be amazing.
And so, but they'd have to tag and do a couple of things. We'll figure it
out. We'll get back to
it. Our marketing people will speak.
Well, our marketing people will talk to your marketing. But I think that's, I mean, there's so much value. And again, it's really not just for booking. Like, it really is just for life, because
it's crazy, because it's like the little book that could
it's perfect and it fits right in your purse.
Yeah, it's the size of a Samuel French play, and I made it really big letters and very short, because actors hate to read, and then you'll read it over and over and over, and that's why people come back and they buy another one, because their book looks,
because it looks like shit. Ran my book through the ringer.
Yeah.
I know. It's true.
But the audiobook is really good too. It's on Audible. So if you've got a membership, go and listen. It's the advanced copy of the original book. I wrote that in 2009. And then I did the audiobook in 2016.
Okay.
You could also go to the actorstoolbox.net and get a free week to try it out, but you could really see the technique on coaching about 150 people on there, and there's so many videos, so much to learn. And I'm accessible. You can reach me. You could DM me on Instagram.
Yes, I'll put them on the screen too.
Yeah, but I mean, you guys, you can get to me.
She's friendly.
I'll write back. People write me on Instagram all the time. They talk about their booking problem. Then I give them a solution and a program, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, if you, just warning you, if you come anywhere near me, you got to be ready.
You have.
Yeah, I'm just warning you.
I wish I had a video of class. I was thinking about it. My mom said, do you have any videos of class? I'm like, I don't know if I have any. I have to look back.
Pretty, but like crazy.
It was the best time ever. It was the best time.
So many people. The people would line up like it was like a Ticketmaster. It was like 50 people.
Outside. Literally around the block.
It was crazy.
It was, yeah, no, it's intense. But
I felt like a little whore, though. I
Amy, no. You would be sitting on the couch.
I know.
And we'd be like, hi, Amy.
What do you have for me today?
It was the best time ever. And I made amazing friends through it. I made your friends that you make in class really bring you, like, lifelong friends.
Yes. And some of them are doing really well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you never know where
you never know. But, you know, Rainey Rodriguez from Austin and Ally, you know, she played Trish.
Yeah.
Her brother, Rico, who was the little kid on Modern Family, used to be in the back of my class watching class.
Yeah. See?
And Rainey taught him the Linda technique.
See?
Yeah. It's crazy.
I'm telling you, there are the amount of people that do know about this, but it's like our little hidden gem. Well, thank you so much for being here. Thank you.
I loved every minute.
I cannot. And thank you for all you've done in my life. Thank you for instilling in me so much confidence. You've given me so much confidence, and you've really, even if you didn't know it, because there are so many times where you have, you know, you work with actors and then you don't hear from them for years. And I just want you to know, like, you have had such an impact on me, really. Like, you've changed my life.
You're gonna make me
cry. I know. But it's true. You've really changed my life. And even though there's been years where maybe we haven't been in touch, you truly have had such an impact on me. And
she's making me cry.
I'm so blessed to know you and have you in my life. And just, I cannot thank you enough, because you really changed my life. So... And look, I love you so much.
Look what she's doing. She's messing
with you. I love you so much. And I'm so grateful for you. So thanks for being here. And we will do this again soon. And go find Amy. I will put all of it in the YouTube and all of the things.
I just want you all the success to you.
Thank you. I love you so much, Amy. That's it for today's episode. And I will see you back here again next time. Thank you so much for tuning in. Bye.